Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So we are in our re-Easter, which is our Lent series, and to give you understanding why the letters R-E before any word imply that there was a rhythm, there was a tradition, something that was known. But when you are reborn, like we're talking about today, or you reimagine, it means once what once was might no longer be, that there could be a new trajectory, a new way of thinking, a new way of operating from before. And today we're talking about being reborn, because being born matters. It matters so much that you get a certificate. How many things do you get a certificate for, right? If you're born, you get a certificate to prove that you're born. Even though when you're in front of someone, they're like, well, we need your birth certificate. You really could say, well, does this count? Like, I'm here. Like, I can move and I can sing, right? I actually thought about it. Birth certificate is like the participation award, right? It is. And you might, some moms are like, wait a second, all right? It's a participation award because the baby doesn't have to do a lot. They have to participate, right? The same way of like, if you have kids and they're in basketball or volleyball or hockey, they get the participation award that they didn't win, but they're like, hey, we have to give you something. And it's so important that someone else holds onto it for you, right? You get one, but the official one is in like sealed in a place because that document really matters. The document matters because it tells you when you were born, tells who was like a part of this process of you being born, and it tells like the time and the place. Like, I was born in Cloquet, Minnesota. A little fun fact, my wife and I were both born in the same hospital, and even though we lived in Duluth, all of our kids were born in the same wing of Cloquet Memorial Hospital. And my kids don't find it as fascinating as I do. I'm like, we were all born in the same space. They're like, eh, don't care. So, but like when you are born and who you are born to really does matter. Because when you're born into a family, you're not just born as a human, right? You are born into a family, into a culture, into a specific time with an economy, with wars, with sickness, with like all the benefits of the family name and also all the baggage, right? And it really does matter of like where and who you are born to. Like, for instance, my kids are so incredibly lucky to have the last name Sodder to these Sodders, because think of all the awesome things they get with that name. Like, they get a really cool red van. All right, I think we have a picture of it. Right? Look at that. I mean, that someday could be theirs. If you look right underneath it, it looks like there's a twig underneath it. Nope, that's like for the emergency brake, right? There's no emergency brake on it, all right? That broke. So that they get to ride in that, and I get to drop them off in school in that, and I get to show up like when like my kid gets to be like 15, he's gonna go like to his first dance, I'm dropping him off in that, right? And I'm gonna drive right up on the sidewalk. Other benefits, I know that might seem the most obvious, is that they get to listen to 90s hip hop and Wilco pretty much 24/7 in this household, right? They get to see I Like to Run, and someone told me if you want the shorter the shorts, the faster you look. All right? It's not your faster, you just look faster. So I will wear my short running shorts around town, all right? And I'll see Cole's friends like, hey, how's it going, bud? And then he's like, Dad, can you get longer shorts? And I'm like, no, that's part of having the Sodder name. They get to see, like, I know you can imagine that Nikki has a hard time from just smooching me all the time. So my kids get to like out in public in front of their friends, Nikki can come and just start smooching me like, honey, slow down, all right? So they get that. And did I mention this really great red van that we have? Another angle of it? I mean, look at that. Those are like all for speed. All that rust is just to get it lighter so we can go faster, right? But really, the family, I love that van, right? That really, in all seriousness, like of the family that you're born into, for some of you has been a blessing. Some of it is you have great early formations with your family. And even though it's great, we'll have our hard stuff. For others of you, you didn't ask to be born into that history of mental health. Some of you, you didn't ask to be born into of like there's a history of alcoholism. There's a history of cancer. There's a history of from your great grandpa just being angry all the time and on and on and on. And you didn't like say like, yay, legacy, right? Like you being born matters. Why are we talking about this? Because Jesus talks about being born. Jesus in John chapter 3 talks about being reborn. And this is an interesting word. For some of you, maybe you came, you were part of a church tradition and you stepped out of it for a little bit. There's a lot of you here to give you encouragement of where when you're younger or your early 20s, you just didn't work for you anymore. And you're like, hands up. What you have said to be true, what you've said to be holy, what you've said that this is how it is, you're like, it just doesn't work for me anymore. I'm sorry. And you stepped out of it. And maybe as you're re-entering into it, or this is newer to you, you hear the word reborn, or maybe you've heard the word born again. And that's a trigger word for you. You're like, whoa, hold on. Hold on, Sada. We're not going there, right? Like, this is a word evangelicals have used for a long time, to be born again, to be saved, to have Jesus in your heart, to be washed by the blood. Just put that one aside for a while. Don't walk up to someone on a plane saying, hey, you've been washed by the blood, brother? Just like, someone says that to you, just like, all right, good handshake, let's go, all right? Because this, at some point, we've taught, like, to be born again matters, and it really, really does. But why, born again from what? It's like we point to something that once was, like we can point to a birth certificate, right? You could say, yeah, I was born. I can prove to you I was born. Okay, great. But like, you're still born right now, right? You're still functioning in that. What does it really mean to be reborn? Because from my early years as being an evangelical Christian, it really felt like the power emphasis was getting people just to be born again. Like, it was just like a transactional deal. It was like a one-time deal. Let's get them to say this prayer, to have this thing, get the certificate, and then just don't screw it up so someday you can get to heaven, right? And no one ever like specifically taught me that and said, this is what you do. But that's what it felt like. And we have to get as many people just to get the birth certificate as possible. And then let's just wait until we go to heaven. And it's if that's all it is, then Lent and Easter is just a transactional action. The cross is simply just like, it's just about forgiveness of sins. But funny, like when you read and listen to the words of Jesus, that matters. Forgiveness of sin matters. But it's so much more than that. To be reborn, to be born again, is not just a one-time thing. Jesus elevates the conversation into a way of life, in a whole new way of being human. And Jesus speaks to this. So we're going to be reading a little bit from John 3:16, which is like a very popular verse at football games, on signs. And also, but where we have to start is John chapter 3, verse 1. Here we go. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. There's that word. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, why did you bring that up? We were all thinking it. Now we all heard you say that. That was weird. That's not what he said. That's what I would have said, right? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So this is a powerful, mystical, super mystical words of Jesus. Because here's what happened. Let me set the scene. Nicodemus is this like prominent religious insider, probably has some sort of value and worth. He's like a bigwig. And he hears of this other rabbi. There's multiple rabbis. And each rabbi has their own way of teaching, their way of influence of what they're going to lean on and how they're going to invite you into it. And so it wouldn't be uncommon to learn from one rabbi and then like go to another rabbi to learn like a little bit more, get in on the good stuff. So this guy shows up saying like, oh, you truly are a teacher from God because of the stuff that you've done. There's healings, there's this reputation. But he goes at night, which tells you he probably has heard about Jesus, but there's some social consequence of being like associated with Jesus. Because the disciples that Jesus picked, the people that he's saying, hey, you're going to learn from me, is not like a real safe group of people. You might picture it as these really like well-dressed young men, like, oh, I'm a very accomplished person. One of them was a terrorist. They were part of an organization that believed that we were going to change the world through violence. They were fishermen, which means they were poor and outcasts. These were pretty much nobodies. And so you can, if you're an up-and-coming person that was prominent and then the government was like, hang out with the terrorists, they're not going to be like, people are like, hey, you're making great life decisions, right? They're going to be like, whoa, you're with the riffraff. But there's something about Jesus, and I talk about this often. If you read the Gospels, there's something about Jesus that people are drawn to where they're willing to go a little bit out of the norms to get in something good. So Nicodemus shows up. And he tries like wooing Jesus. Oh, you're from God and all these things. And saying, well, how do I get in on the good stuff? And Jesus says, great question. You must be born of water, which is weird, right? And of the Spirit. Now, what this means is, first of the water, if you were going to like assimilate, if you were going to move into this faith tradition that Nicodemus was a part of, right? They believed that you were born into the right family. Being born in your family matters, especially when it comes to religion and spirituality. At this time, being very tribe mentality, if you're born as an Israelite in that the Hebrew tradition, you were in. Right? You were in. And if someone else wanted to enter into that tradition, they would have to be washed. A little different than being baptized, but similar. You'd have to go through all these other things, but then at the end, you would get washed of the water, which was a symbol of your Gentileness, or we could use the word your otherness, right? Tribes are like, we are the tribe that's right, and you are the tribe that's wrong, and you are different, you're the other. And if you want to be in, the water would symbolize that otherness for you is being washed off, and you're in. So it'd be shocking for Nicodemus to know that he's already in. He probably wasn't expecting Jesus saying, oh yeah, guess what? You have to be washed of your tradition. I'm like, whoa, no, I'm on the inside. We're both Jews, Jesus. Jesus was a Jew who was brown. Just understand that, right? Like, get that in your head. Like, you might think of like white Jesus, not at all, right? Like, he was Jewish. And so he was like saying, we're on the same team. You're the rabbi. Let's get on this. Jesus saying, no, you have to be washed. But he doesn't stop there. Because if he stopped there, then Jesus himself would be just going to a tribal mentality as well. Because the water is about the earth, the soil, your history, your family history of the stories from generations and the songs and the art and the beauty and the horrible things and the wonderful things you did. All of that is touching. If Jesus just said you have to be born of the water, he would have said, okay, we're going to go from this tribe to this tribe. We're going to go from this space to this space. And Jesus was never interested in a tribe. He was never interested in getting an allegiance of people from one thing to another thing on the soil. Jesus says you must be born of the Spirit. Jesus elevates it. He makes it so much bigger, but he doesn't demonize the history. He does not demonize the soil. He doesn't demonize the body. He doesn't demonize the history of the people. Instead, he goes, this is amazing. This is really, really good. But if you're also born of the Spirit, of the cosmos, of the heavens, of this kingdom of God, what he's saying is he's connecting all that's up here, all these things that you've dreamed about is also right here. It's right in front of you. It has always been there. N.T. Wright, who is a prominent scholar and theologian, calls Jesus the great connector. That when Jesus came, his central message is the kingdom of God. It's heaven itself, which we're going to talk about a little bit. And what he's saying, really, to be born again is not just a one-time event. It's, can you see that there's something bigger? Can you see that there's something new? Can you see that there is something out there? There's something within. And it's heaven. And you might identify as this, and that's great. What I'm asking you to identify as a whole new way of operating, a whole new way of thinking, taking all the same things, but adding to it. Let it go deeper, a deeper experience, a deeper level of love, of trust, of hope, of beauty. You've heard me say this a lot over this Lenten season, of really a whole new way of being human. And if that's the point, if Jesus is coming to say, I want you to teach you how to be a Jesus-looking person. I want you to come and how to flourish. Like, really, he's saying, be like me because I am different. I am holy. I'm set apart. So then the reborn, then, is to not just identify as this, but to see, this is important, to realize, to see, to notice, and to receive this divine, to receive this Spirit, to receive this kingdom, to operate in heaven. And for me, this is, again, not just a one-time thing. This is over many times in my life as I've operated and I have moved, as I've evolved, as I have grown, as I've grown in my ability to love, my ability to question, my ability to have hope. There's things about Jesus, there's things about the divine that I have seen and I have a groan. I have question. And it's like, I talked about this earlier. It's like when I'm surprised that prayer actually works. That's a way of me being reborn, of saying, oh yeah, that's not who I am. I used to think that way. I used to operate that way. But I want to look like this. I want to operate as in the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Jesus invites us into. Because if you get into John 3:16, so if you start with, we have to be born again. And then John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if you just, and actually Jesus didn't say that. John wrote that about Jesus. I remember the first time I read that, I'm like, red letter, whoa, no red letters, right? Like John is speaking something true that he witnessed about Jesus. And when you read it, when I was younger, I'd take it as, okay, I have to believe and then I have eternal life. And that's where we get this misconception of it's just all about say this prayer and then you get eternal life. But eternal life, they would have understood, wasn't just about someday maybe. Jay Pathick, a Vineyard pastor that I really, is like a mentor to me, I heard him say so many times, Jesus didn't come to get a bunch of people into heaven, he came to get a heaven into a bunch of people, like now. Heaven within, it's always been there. So the whole idea of John 3:16 is that you have to take John 3 into account, that Jesus is saying you are born into something so much bigger. Can you see it? Because it's all around you. And if you believe that this God gave something good, if you can believe it, then you will have this good and beautiful life now. Remade, reborn. So Jesus, when he goes around teaching about this kingdom of God, like one thing that he teaches is how to pray. Lord's Prayer, he says, oh man, I have to get it again. I'm in John 3:16 mode. So it is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is connecting the two. He's saying all those things that you might be, like to you, all those things in heaven that you may be dreaming about, all those things that they someday, and however you picture heaven, if it's like Dave Warner playing the magical harp on the cloud, right? If it's you singing or running with your grandma, if it's you on Streets of Gold, or you and Bono holding hands, whatever it is that you envision heaven to being, like clearly I think most of us think of Chubb Lake is what we probably most of us think about, right? Of like swimming in that pristine, clean water that you can just drink right out of your hand. It's so good for you, right? And so, I have to stop on that. Okay, Jesus is saying all those things up there, pray and behave and act and expect and to believe that it's happening here. And it feels really good to think about someday, maybe. And what Jesus is trying to say, be reborn. Like, be born again. You don't have to be someone of saying, well, someday, maybe. He's saying, if you were remade, if you're renewed, you are restored. It's right now. It's in the present. And can you see that it's everywhere? Then you can behave and walk and love. When people say, I'm a born again Christian, that's a very powerful thing. In my mind, it's I'm being reborn. I'm being renewed. I'm being remade every single moment of the day. Because this God is everywhere. This beauty, this hope is everywhere. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And the reason I'm spending so much time on this whole idea of being reborn is when I moved from this place of, okay, I want to help people, I'm going to share a couple stories of, I want to help people get born again. That's just the beginning. Paul says in Colossians 2, in the same way that you came to know Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to do so. John Wimber used to say, the way in is the way on. The way you come into faith, the way you come into life with Jesus, right? You're going to continue to do that every single day. So when we talk about John 10:10, Jesus, I came to bring life and life to the fullest. This is where we get good and beautiful life from. And I talk with people of like this whole idea of being born again, this whole idea of being remade, renewed. And some people say like, Chris, it's great. Like you're oh, good and beautiful God, good and beautiful life. It just feels like a little, I don't know, easy. Maybe some of you thought that. It's like, it's all like light and fluffy and lovey and feelings. And it's the word that I've heard several times is like, this just kind of cheap grace. And I, when I hear that, I always think, I'm like, well, okay. Do you want me to be meaner? Is that what you're asking me? Do you want me to like shame you more? Like, do we need more guilt and shame? Do we need to make people cry so they feel really bad about being born again? Right? Because there's nothing cheap about this. It's almost, is it too good to be true? Yeah, it is. It's way too good to be true. But there's nothing cheap about it. Like when you see heaven, when you experience Jesus, it really does changes everything. When you see that it's all around you and you can operate and behave in this way, it changes everything. But to be a Jesus-looking person is not easy because we put pictures of the cross, like maybe you have a necklace, maybe you have it in your office, maybe even in your car, and we look at it saying, ooh, you're in the club, right? You get a little fish, you get a little symbol of the cross, and you're like, that makes me feel good. Well, the cross really is a symbol of saying, you are going to come and die. It is an instrument of death. And actually, I love the symbol of the cross because it really is an invitation of saying, Chris, are you ready to, like Romans 12:1, be a living sacrifice again? Are you going to die? Because a life as a Jesus-looking person is good and beautiful, but it begins and ends with death. And we don't like that. Like, we avoid death, and as you should, right? Don't go home and say, well, Chris, this pastor told me I should, like, embrace death, so I'm going to jump off this roof, right? Like, we avoid that. But we operate in a place of fear when it comes to death. We try dressing younger. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, look at me, all right? I dress so great. So, yeah, like, we try looking younger. We try sounding younger. Like we want to appear that everything is good. Why? Because we have this fear. I just saw someone on Facebook saying, "Oh no, I got some gray hairs." I'm like, "Wait a second, all right? My wife said she likes those. Is she lying to me, all right?" And my kids will call me old and slow, all right? And we take that. Sometimes we take that as being bad or negative. But think about it. We can't have life without death. The food you're going to eat at Gordy's later on, all right? Something had to give its life so it could bring you life. Like your own skin. Do you guys know? Yeah, Wendy just goes, ugh, gross, right? Your skin is continually being remade and renewed. It will die, and then like little flakes will go off into like your sister's cereal, all right? It's true. It happens. This is science, right? We can prove it, right? And you get all new skin, but something has to die, right? So you can still be healthy. You look at, we love summer because it's alive and well, and we like fall because things smell good, but what smells good is death and winter. Forest fires are a good thing. Not if you do them on purpose, friends, right? If you're like, Stats, I could start a forest fire. No. You can see that death is around us and it brings beauty. Things are reborn. Can you see it? In death. And so as a Jesus-looking person, where we die is like this. There's nothing easy or cheap about having to die to your rightness. Because I don't know about you. Is there anyone else in here? You love being right. It just feels good. You just feel like on top of the world, right? To be humble means we give up our ability to fight to be right. I remember, and I share the story often, but when I finally realized, instead of holding on to anger at that person, when I finally realized, it took me a decade to forgive someone, a decade. This is your pastor talking. Right? I am not the professional, apparently. It took me a decade to forgive someone. And I worked hard at it, and when I finally realized that it worked, I'm like, that, I had to die to that over and over and over again. When you have to die to like give the best of yourself to your partner, to your friends, how about this? To that person in the office that you know that is talking about you behind your back, the person in the office who's taking credit for your work, the person who is actively trying to get you into a different department so that they can get the prestige, like you have to die to say that I love you. I have this card in my office on my mirror, and Kaylee, our youth pastor, when one of her meetings, she goes, why do you have this this card with this guy's name on it? And I said, because it reminds me that I'm, if this is true, if God is who he says he is, if I'm supposed to be remade, a whole new way of being human, to be reborn in this kind of love, I have to remember that I have to love this guy. Because this guy asked for some money, and we gave him some money. It wasn't as much as he wanted. And he screamed the phone, I hope your kids get cancer, and hung up. Right? That was like one of the high days of being a pastor. And I was like, yay! Right? It sucked. It was hard. And I felt myself want to turn my heart against him. I wanted to turn my heart and say, you are a horrible person. And I have to even right now, right? That feels good to feel like he's the enemy. It'd feel good for me to share that story and be like, oh, Chris, oh man, that's evil. We don't want, it's like, no, that's my brother, right? If God is in every single person, then that is my brother. My brother's never my enemy. So how do I love that person? I can't do it on my own. I have to be remade. I need to be reborn. Can you see this? I watched an interview of a guy whose some of his family died in the shootings in New Zealand. And they said, I don't remember how they phrased the question. It was like, are you angry? Do you want justice? Something like that. And he said the same thing. He goes, no, I forgive those men because if God is in them and God is in me, then that is my brother. And I forgive them. And I hear those stories. I'm like, pfft. Cameras are rolling. How great does that look for you? Right? Did anyone else feel that way? It's like, how convenient. Like, what kind of life would it be if you could actually do that? It's almost like you would have to be reborn. That you would have to have this spirit. You'd have to have this kingdom of God. You'd have to have this heaven. So here's my invitation to you. I had a friend come. When I was a youth pastor, I had this student that came and had a really rough life. Like, if you work with students, and in my mind, I think, all students had a life like mine, right? Everyone's in the same similar boat as me. And then as a youth pastor, I'd meet people that just didn't. With drugs and on the streets, it was hard. And then I didn't see this person again for 12 years. Recently, this person came here. Gave me a big hug and says, I am going after the best life possible now. And they were sitting in church and inside your Connect form. If you ever read it, on the back of it, it says, it's my first time here, or I'd like to sign up for an email or something like that. But it also says, today I've become a follower of Jesus, or I've recommitted my life to Jesus. And the reason that we put that in there, which made him sound like, in my mind, even as I said, like, it's not just about a one-time thing, right? It's like your whole life. At some point, that little box help that, my former student, check the box saying, I want a new life. I want to be reborn. By signing up for that, by checking, that was way for this person acknowledging once what was no longer has to be. I remember being a five-year-old, my mom helping me say the Lord's Prayer to be reborn, to be born again. And that was a beautiful, beautiful time. Whatever it takes for you to acknowledge, to see and to receive the Christ, to see and receive the kingdom of heaven. That's why we have that box. That's why we pray. But you can experience that on a walk in Jay Cook. You can experience that of getting low and playing a game of sorry and losing for the 100th time to your 8-year-old daughter, right? That's me, right? You can experience that by listening to some beautiful music. So wherever you are at, wherever you're walking, wherever you are struggling, whatever you feel like is killing you, just realize that there is this good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for you. Let's stand and let's pray. So here's what I'm going to pray about. Oh, that's good. If you're here and this whole life with Jesus for you, an idea of being a new way of being human, of being remade, of being reborn. If you're in a place where it's felt difficult or it's felt distant, and for a whole slew of reasons, and you would, regardless if it was this is your first time, that student, or maybe like me, I again want to say, God, I want to be surprised by the love, by heaven itself. As I pray, however you receive that, however you connect with divine, I'm going to encourage you to do that. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I thank you that life with you is not just about a tribe. Even these third graders who were up here earlier, of starting this journey with this ancient sacred book. We have access to you in this life every second of the day. And I thank you that we are to be born of this water, of this earth, this soil, our story, but also of the story of the kingdom of God, of the Spirit. And as flesh gives birth to flesh, only the Spirit can give life to spirit. So I ask God that even now that you would come and breathe your Spirit, your life into us. For my friends who feel distant from you, to my friends who feel excluded by you, to my friends like where I'm at currently right now, I just feel exhausted. My friends who are exhausted and tired, God, will you just come and bring the kingdom of heaven into us so that we can be remade, we can be renewed, that we can be reborn as a kingdom people. That everything we need, you've already placed within. And help us to be able to see it. And God, we help us more importantly to receive it. So will you come? Amen. So here's my invitation. We're going to have some ministry team people up here. These are people who are for you and would love the opportunity to pray for you. And I wrote down two things. You feel like maybe you need a new way of seeing the divine, maybe seeing the world, or maybe seeing yourself. You feel like you've held on to some things that you've realized probably aren't the best, probably not the healthiest way to live or to operate. People up here would love to pray for you about that. And this is the one. And I don't know who this is for. It could be for no one. But as I was praying, you could take it or leave it. But the words specifically were, you feel like you don't deserve this kind of love. If there's someone here, you just feel like, I'm not worthy of this. I'm excluded. Again, people up here would love to pray for you. Steve's going to do some more worship. Stick around as long as you want. Thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard.